doing a bit of work on the World Wide Web. I receive mail sometimes, and one I received went something like this. Like doubting the Apostle Paul was actually an apostle. And so the question was Paul an apostle? That's a good question for all of us to ponder, because there are people around us who will tell us, no, Paul wasn't an apostle. He wasn't there with the rest when they became an apostle. He didn't know Jesus personally while he was on the earth. Do I have to listen to what Paul says? After all, people don't like what Paul has to say about women sometimes. They don't like what Paul has to say about homosexuality. And so the idea that Paul is an apostle is horrible for some. If he's an apostle, he has authority. And some don't want Paul to have that authority. Did he have the authority of heaven in his teaching? Let's consider his case. The first thing that we need to note about the Apostle Paul is that he was chosen by Christ. The Lord explains his choosing to Ananias in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. We remember the story about how the man Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus, and he was going there to persecute Christians. He was going to have them put in prison. He was going to have them punished for taking on Jesus as their Lord. And so, inside of Damascus, he sees a vision of the risen Lord. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, we read, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." A man by the name of Ananias received instructions in Damascus to go to Saul of Tarsus and to tell him what he needed to do. Ananias was reluctant at first, but God told him to go anyway. Isn't he the man that is coming to persecute us? Yes, he is, but he is a chosen vessel. The Lord chose Saul of Tarsus to be his man to go to the Gentiles and to others. He was chosen by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 13. And verse 2, Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. Beginning at verse 1, we read, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." The Holy Spirit, speaking through the prophets that were there, pointed out this man, Barnabas and Saul, to go and do a particular work. We aren't arguing the same for Barnabas. Barnabas didn't write half of the New Testament, but Paul did. Paul gives assertions on these matters. This one that had been chosen by Jesus and by the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, as he writes this letter to the church there at Rome, he says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." Now, this word servant, it means something a little bit different, a little bit more intense than what we use as the word servant today. This word servant, this Greek word doulos, has in its meaning the word bond slave. You belong to someone else. You are to do his will. It's not something that you put in 8 or 12 hours a day and then you go home and do what you want. The bond slave always did the work that his master prescribed. Always. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Notice in your King James Version that those words "to be" are in italics. It might also be translated, "He is a called apostle." A called apostle separated unto the gospel of God. He's a bond slave. He's been called and given a job. That job is to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is Paul's confirmation, Paul's testimony. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. Oftentimes, the Apostle Paul had to defend his own apostleship, and when he addresses his letters, oftentimes he does this. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul says, I am an apostle. Now, I know certain people today, and I could call a few names, even in the Lord's church, who have called themselves an apostle for this day and age. You go out to Salt Lake City, and there is an apostle presiding over the Latter-day Saints church. But the Apostle Paul called himself an apostle. Didn't he have the right to do so? Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul, once again, claims that he was given the job and given his message from God himself. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul, writing to his son in the faith, one he had preached the gospel to and had responded to that message. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity, or faith and truth. He was, asserted himself that he's an apostle. But it's one thing for Paul to say he's an apostle. It's another thing for God to say it. God confirms Paul's apostleship. Did God confirm a liar? You need to ask yourself that question. Someone stands up and says, either by letter or in word, that I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, one chosen by God, through whom his word was to be spoken among all nations. It's one thing for Paul to say that, and another thing for God to say it. Paul might say it and be equal to the man who thinks he's a refrigerator and wants you to change out his light bulb because it's gone out when he opens his door. No, was he a madman who said, I'm an apostle of Christ, or was it the truth? God confirms that apostleship, and he did it by miracles. What was the purpose of miracles? We need to understand that before we go on. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, at the end of the gospel account of Mark, as Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, he gives the Great Commission once again. He tells the apostles that they have a big job to do. They're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he says in verse 20, Mark writes, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. The signs following confirm the word that these men said. So if Paul said, I am an apostle, could he prove that? He could if he did the works that Jesus laid down here. He could if he worked the works of an apostle, did the signs of an apostle. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 confirms for us the need for the works in those days, the mighty works and miracles which were done by men of God, and it was to confirm the word of God. Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and gifts and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. The word was confirmed, the Hebrews writer says. How was it confirmed? How did you know that this individual who preached a risen Lord, that he was preaching the word of heaven? Because he laid his hands on someone and they rose up and walked. Because there was a demon-infested person that he cast that demon out. because there was someone dead and they're alive again. That's how you know. That's how you know whether Paul is an apostle or not. Paul gives his testimony. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. I am become a fool in glory. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, and all patience, and signs, and wonders, and mighty deeds. Once again, we call to mind the fact that the apostle had to defend his apostleship at times. He didn't want to. He didn't want to seem to be glorying in that. But if they weren't accepting his word because they weren't accepting his apostleship, he had to remind them, how can you know that I'm an apostle? The signs and wonders were worked among you, he says. You can be sure that what I said was the truth, because you saw the miracles, you saw the works. Romans 15, verses 18 and 19. Romans 15, verses 18 and 19. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Fully preached the gospel of Christ. That people can know it's the gospel of Christ, because the signs and wonders were done by him. Luke gives a record as well. Acts chapter 20 and verses 7 and following. Acts chapter 20, verses 7 and following. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. Remember, this is from the pen of Luke, that he was a man of medicine. Now, I know medicine today is not is much greater than it was then, but a medical man, even back then, no one knows when someone is dead. And he could tell that this young man was dead. And when Paul went down to retrieve him, he was alive again. The works of an apostle. This is how you know that when the apostle Paul spoke, he spoke the words, as it were, from the desk of heaven. And that it was just the same as if God himself were on Mount Sinai crying out those Ten Commandments, thou shalt and thou shalt not. As the ground moves under your feet, as you see the smoke on the mount, as you hear the voice of God, when the Apostle Paul spoke, it was just as if God himself were doing it, because he worked the works of an apostle. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29 gives Peter's testimony. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. The scriptures Jesus mentions in this passage, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. But the scriptures Jesus mentions were confirmed by mighty works and wonders through Old Testament prophets. Mighty works such as what Elijah did on Mount Carmel, such as what Moses did in parting the Red Sea, and many, many other things that we could point to in the Old Testament scriptures. Those scriptures showed the power of God, that they were scriptures, that those things were from the mouth of God. Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 16, Peter puts Paul in the same class with those Old Testament prophets. 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. Now, if you believe the word of Peter, you believe in his apostleship, you cannot get around accepting Paul's apostleship. As in also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Peter says, these people that he's speaking about, they rest the scriptures. They make them into something that they are not. And they do that to Paul's writings and teachings, as they do the other scriptures. That is, the writings that have come long before. The writings of Moses. The writings of the other prophets of the Old Testament. Peter says, Paul's writings are like that. As you pick up the old law, and you see God speaking from the mount, you hear Paul speaking, or look at his writing, and it's the same. Paul tells the source of his doctrine, Luke chapter 10 and verse 16. Luke chapter 10, verse 16. He that heareth you, Jesus says, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Rejecting Paul's doctrine is rejecting the source. Jesus tells his apostles, his followers, that if they are rejected, he is rejected. John chapter 12, verses 48 through 50. We find the folly of rejecting what the apostle said, because it's the same as rejecting what Jesus said. What Jesus said is what God said. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. There is a class of people in this world today that honors the Bible, but they'll only choose a red letter edition, because they don't want to hear the words of the apostles. They don't want to hear what anyone but Jesus says on any matter. And it's because Jesus doesn't, we don't have a recording of what Jesus says on some things. But Jesus passed on his word to the apostles and made it authoritative. He made it authoritative by passing on those signs and wonders as well, so that we can know what the apostles said is what Jesus said. And so when we get to those that love the red letter edition, we need to remind them that's not where it ends. It goes on to the apostles and prophets who preached the word of God and did so authoritatively. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. Hear the words of the apostle. He has reasoned correctly, and we can know that his word is true because of the signs and wonders, because Jesus says if you reject his disciples, you reject him, his apostles, that is. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. The commandments of the Lord. When I bring that scene to mind of Moses before the mount of God, out in the wilderness, where God speaks those Ten Commandments, and the mountain is rumbling beneath your feet, and the rocks are torn, and there's smoke and fire on the mountain, the words commandments of the Lord ought to ring a bell. When Paul speaks, it's just as authoritative as when God himself spoke on the mount. There's no difference. The Apostle Paul, when he writes those that half of the New Testament, he's giving us a blessing. He's giving us direction. He's giving us the mind of God. He's giving us the will of God. Paul tells us the source of his doctrine. His writings are the commandments of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. This very young church, the Apostle Paul is trying to give them instruction. He's only known them about 6 weeks, or so some scholars tell us, that he's not been very long with them and had to leave. And he leaves them in a position where they're going to be persecuted, and they still have some questions, so he's writing back to them. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, we read, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." It takes the word of God to effectually work. Isn't that true? Only the word of God can do what it is intended. The word of man can go through one ear and out the other and not have any effect. But the word of God is different. There's always an effect. You either melt your heart and accept it, or you harden your heart and reject it. There's always a consequence when you come to the word of God. Have you accepted it? Paul affirms his apostleship. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 5. He says, "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles." He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Apostle means one sent. That he is one who has been sent by Jesus Christ with a message. A message for this planet, if you want to put it that way. A message for this planet that there is a day of judgment coming. A day of judgment coming, and there's only one way out. One way of blessing. One way to heaven. And that is through Jesus Christ. Only one way. Those who don't like the doctrines that Paul teaches will find no comfort in the evidence that we've seen. The verdict is in. Paul is an example, is an apostle. We must obey his commandments. He gives the commandments of God. If we reject him, we reject Jesus. Luke 10, verse 16. There may be someone here today in this very predicament. You've always said that you love Jesus, but not Paul. You just can't get around some of his arguments, or you just don't believe that particular thing that he writes in one epistle or another. You found out that that's just not right. You've got to believe everything that Jesus says. And when Paul does the works of an apostle, he confirms that his words are the words of Christ. And so we must obey his words. So when he tells us what we must do to be saved, we must believe it and obey it. When he tells us how we must live, we must believe it and obey it. If you find yourself in need of the forgiveness of sins this hour, you need to understand that it's open for you. The door is open, and that Jesus calls through the apostles, calls by his own word and will. And if you would be clean, you need to ask God for forgiveness if you're already a Christian. If you have been stubborn about something in your life, you need to give it up to him. You need to change your ways. You need to repent. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Acts chapter 8, verse 22. And that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 2, verses 7 through 9. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. It may be that you have not been baptized for the remission of sins. You just haven't felt the need in the past. If you haven't felt the need, you haven't understood sin. How it separates you from God. how that you're not going to go to heaven in your sin, because God is holy and we are unholy. If you've come to recognize the need this hour, don't let another minute pass without obeying God's invitation. He wants you to come. He wants you to believe that His Son is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is His Son. He wants you to repent of your sin and confess Christ before men, and be baptized for the remission, the removal, the forgiveness of your sins. If we can assist you in your obedience this evening, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing.